Like to have a copy of God's Word, Bible, that is only place where you find God's Word. You'd like a copy of the New Testament in its entirety, it's offered to you freely and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours for the taking. It is a book of, I can tell you, testify, confess before you, it is a book of much consolation and encouragement, especially so in times of affliction, difficulty, trouble, calamity, which of course comes to us all, don't you know, in one book in the Bible, the Old Testament, a man called Job, he says that surely as the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. Another place, the psalmist, he says, I found trouble. And I guarantee you this, he didn't go looking for it. You don't have to. It comes looking for you, every single one of us. Because, as the man says, as surely as the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. Whenever you find a human being on this planet, you find some kind of trouble. So you want comfort, you want consolation, you want hope, you want joy, you want something to sustain you in the midst of the calamities of life. Then I do offer sincerely to you this copy of God's Word, entire New Testament, offered to you quite freely, yours for the taking. It is, we want to confess before you this afternoon, to the loving kindness of God. The psalmist, he says, in the book of Psalms, they too, I recommend to you for your reading, every experience known to man, you'll find there, the highs and the lows, and the in-between, the calamities, the joys, the victories, the defeats, you'll find it all there. You'll find every experience that you've gone through, you'll find it there in the book of Psalms. And I often, not always, recommend to people who are struggling, suffering for whatever reason, whether it be of their own doing or somebody else's, it matters not, or whether maybe it comes from the hand of God Himself, I recommend to them that they read the book of Psalms, meditate upon them, because there is much comfort there. And friends, do we not, is there not times in our lives when we all of us need a bit of comfort? And it's not always forthcoming from our fellow man. We cannot depend upon them, can we? We are so often let down. But the loving kindness of God, well, that's something else. Here's something else that the psalmist, he says. Psalm 63 and verse 3, if you want to check it out. Because thy loving kindness, he says, is better than life. Better than life. Is that not amazing? Well, sure it is, because, well, you might think there's nothing better than life, but, well, he confesses. What, sir? He testifies. Come and talk to me, sir. He testifies that the loving kindness of God is better than life. And so it is. If you stop and think about it for, well, for long enough, if you give it some serious thought. Just as I was arrived here and set up my sign, a young lady put her hand upon my sign, this one that talks about, you know, after death, and she said to me, that's where I'm going, somewhat sadly, and I think I detected a tear in her eye. Well, I can well sympathize, because, dear friends, is it not a fact of life that we all have to die? that it comes to some sooner rather than later, but it does come to us all. In fact, it's the one and only thing that we can guarantee in this life. And that is that we're going to die one day of something, by some means, but it's going to happen. But of course, well, I guess, you know, that many of you youngsters here today in the town of Stafford around enjoying your holidays and maybe contemplating your future studies, preparing for a life maybe as a doctor, who knows, a lawyer, or maybe perhaps something a bit lower than that. Or maybe you want to be a celebrity, preparing for life. You want the certificate, you want the diploma, you want, you want the degree or something, or the college pass, because you're preparing for life. But how many of you are preparing for death? Is that not more important than preparing for life? Because you see, you might not get past college. You might not have that future that you're preparing for. So what then? Well, without the loving kindness of the Lord, I tell you, the future is very bleak. The future is very dark. Death comes, as I say, to all men. Why? Because God has appointed it so. It's the result of sin, don't you know? Sin came into the world, the Bible says, and as a result of that, death has come to all men. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life and eternal love through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, friends, this appointment, well, it must needs be kept because it's a divine one. You can't postpone it, you can't cancel it, you know, it will come. You may be a king, you may be a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. He comes to us all. But are you ready? Do you know the loving kindness of the Lord? That really is the most important question that you could possibly ask somebody. And of course, the one question to which you need to have a very, very positive answer to be able to say, yes, I do. He loved me ere I knew him, and he saved me by the blood of his son Jesus Christ. Is that you today? I ask you, dear friends, for who knows, but this may be the last hour, the last day, the last week, last month of your life. Who knows? I wish it not on you, but friends, sooner or later, it's going to come stalking. So you see, the person with the afflictions, the calamities, with the bad news, you know, whether it come from a doctor, you're talking about what's between your ears, sir, or you want to come and talk reasonably. You see, friends, when you've experienced the loving kindness of the Lord, these afflictions, these calamities that come to us, oh yes, they're still disturbing. They can still be distressing. I do not deny that. But friends, it takes the edge off them in a very, very real way. Because one knows, you see, that this world, this life is not the end. It's not even the best, says the psalmist. He says the loving kindness of the Lord is better, better even than life itself. Which would you choose? I wonder if the choice were given to you. Either your life. What would a man give for his life? What would a man give for his soul? Jesus asks the question, what would you give? Or would you choose the loving kindness of the Lord? You see, one lasts forever, but the other one doesn't last forever. Because you choose life, well, eventually it's going to come to an end anyway. But you choose the loving kindness of the Lord, well, that's everlasting. Because the love of God in Jesus Christ is an everlasting love. Oh, much better even than those human relationships, good though they may be. Maybe you would claim to have the best siblings, the best spouse in all the world. Oh, she loves me, he loves me. Never forsake me, never leave me. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. And maybe not intentionally, maybe not for somebody else, but they'll leave you. Death will separate. Death will bring an end to that relationship. So you see, the only relationship and the only love that's forever is the love of God. I know there's a lot of talk about love. You know, back a month ago, was it? Or a bit more. You know, the good bishop from the USA at the royal wedding waxed very eloquently about love. But unfortunately, he didn't define it. What is the love of God? How has the love of God been manifested, revealed? Well, in this, for God so loved the world. A sin-sick, a rotten, broken, dying world, perishing world. He loved it so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That is, go out of this world to a lost eternity without the loving kindness of the Lord. And then, of course, the rest of the New Testament, we're told that the greatest evidence of the loving kindness of God was in the giving up of his Son to the death of the cross, surrendering his Son. I don't know if you have children or not, or grandchildren. I have one or two myself, but I do testify before you, I would not give one of them for the best of you, never mind for the worst. But God so loved the world, get this, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to the death of the cross for the worst of human beings, the worst of sinners, the vilest of them, that they might be restored, reconciled to God, that their souls might be healed, and that they might come to know not just a head knowledge, not just an intellectual thing, but friends, an experience of the loving kindness of the Lord. So in the midst of all your afflictions, calamities, well, you see, life is good just now. I'm young, I'm fit, I'm healthy. There's nothing dark on the horizon. The way in front of me is all blue sky and blue sea. But I have to tell you, friends, I don't want to be the party pooper, but you know, it's not going to last. Because trouble will come, calamity will come. What then? Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord, I tell you, is better than life. Consoling, comforting, you know. But I just say experience, you know, something that has to be, well, there is better experience. Much better than me telling you about it, or somebody else. Somebody perhaps more eloquently. But you see, the man or woman who knows God by his grace, who has had everlasting life and love implanted into their souls by the gospel, and of course that's the only way by which you can come to know God, through his Son Jesus Christ, the one who came and of course lived and loved and died and rose mightily, triumphantly from the grave, able to justify, to make a body, sinful and wicked though they be, reconciling them to God, making them one with God, and bringing them into this relationship of loving kindness, which is better than life itself. Better than just a meaningless existence. For is that not the sum of what many of you call life today? Oh, you see, I'm alive now, you know. So what you call life, up in the morning, out to work, that is if you happen to have a job these days, out to work, home again, tea time, Everdale Farm, Coronation Street, yawn off the bed, and round you go in never-ending circles. And then some of you, perhaps at the weekend, you get bladdered out of your mind just to, you know, break the monotony of it all. And you call that life. You call that living. Well, that's not what God calls living. That's not what God calls life. I am come, says Jesus, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Fullness of life. And how you would describe yourself today? Fullness of life. Abundance of life. You see, only the gospel can bring such to you. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, I mean. That's what the word gospel means. And that's why it's good news, because you see, it brings the loving kindness of the Lord into the souls of men and women. A religion won't do that. You can be religious, but religion doesn't bring the life of God. It doesn't bring the life of God into a person's soul. It doesn't bring the loving kindness of God into the hearts of men and women. It's only the gospel that does that. That comes to you from the living and true God. That is the life-giving God. And the God, of course, who always speaks the truth. His word is truth, you see. And the truth is that God, you see, has demonstrated his loving kindness for the worst of men and women. That they might come to know and taste, experience that loving kindness of the Lord. So where is the Savior say? Well, in the gift of his Son, in the giving of his Son Jesus Christ into the world, sending his only begotten Son, the very best of his love, the one that he loves supremely and uniquely and like no other. He gave him up. And that to the death of the cross to be taken by the will of God. The cruel, wicked hands of evil, wicked men taken and cruelly and wickedly treated by them. Scourged and mocked and spat upon and nailed to a cross and left to bleed and die. In order that you might know the loving kindness of God. In order that you might be at one with God. So, you see, friends, it's seen the loving kindness of God is seen in the gift of his Son. And it is, I have to say, a free gift. It's not something that comes to you from the grace of God, you see. But once you say that you have to do something for it, it's no longer a gift, is it? If I say to you, you have to be religious for it, well, it's no longer a gift. You don't have to be religious for it. On the contrary, if I say you have to pay for it, you have to pay some money into the church or something like that, it's no longer a gift. Not here for your money. We don't want you to come to our church. We don't want you to follow us. That's not what we're here for. We want you to experience the loving kindness of the Lord seen in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is presented to you as a gift here, even this very afternoon. But as soon as you say you have to be religious for it, work for it, pay for it, it's no longer a gift. It's something that you've earned, and you cannot earn rightness with God. For God says in his word, it's either of works or it's of grace. You see it? The man rather impudently passing me just a few moments ago asked me to give it a rest. No, that's what I bid you to do. Give it a rest. Give over from your trying to be good, because you're not good and you never will be good. You cannot be good because you're rotten to the very cores of your being. You were conceived and born in sin, you and your children. And therefore are children of wrath. And without the loving kindness of the Lord, until that is you repent and believe the gospel and you rest, you give it a rest. That is rest in the finished work of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Then you'll know the loving kindness of the Lord, which is better than life. Then you will know peace with God. But not because of something you've done, not because of anything that you do, because there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with God. Now you must rest in the work of another, somebody else's good work, somebody else's righteousness, not yours, because yours and mine's like filthy rags in the sight of God. Now you must needs rest in Jesus, and then you will know the loving kindness of the Lord. But then, of course, it's seen in the forgiveness that God, presents you with also this afternoon. This is the heart of the gospel, madam, don't you know? That there is forgiveness with God. Oh, you might say to me, if you knew my life, if you knew the things I've been involved in, all the dark and dirty and dangerous things, if you knew the catalogue of sin that I've got arrayed against me, you would never be talking to me about the loving kindness of God. Yes, I would. Because I don't care how far away you've wandered from the path of righteousness. I care not how far you wandered straight from God's path. I have to tell you that there is no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, forgiveness is a reality, and what a sweet, sweet thing it is to know that your Maker smiles upon you as you lay your head down on the pillow of a night time, and to know that all is well between you and your Maker. To know, to understand that even if the heavens, the world, the universe itself were to disintegrate in the night, you would be safe in the arms of Jesus, in the loving kindness of God. Why? Because you've been forgiven. Because that you know that your sins have been taken away by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. Oh, dear friends, do you know the forgiveness of God? Now only Jesus can bring that to you. I tell you, there's no pope or priest can absolve you from your wicked deeds of darkness, your lawlessness. I tell you, there is no religious figure in all this world except Jesus who can absolve you before God. The Son of Man, the Bible says, that's Jesus, alone has the authority to say to you, your sins are forgiven. That authority is not given to any pope, any priest.
Why can't I meet God now?
You can, sir.
Why do I have to wait to die?
Pardon?
Why do I have to wait till I die?
Well, you don't want to wait till you die. That's too late then, sir. It's now.
Sounds kind of threatening.
No. Well, it is a threat, sir. Death is a threat to us all, is it not?
Well, it depends on your religious standpoint, because some religions believe that death is actually the gateway to an afterlife, don't they?
Well, that's what the Bible says. That is, if you believe in Jesus, sir. If you repent of your sin, if you take it seriously, sir, get on your knees and cry out to God, like you meant it. So like I say, what was I saying? Yeah, the loving kindness of the Lord, the forgiveness to know that Jesus has taken away your sin. But that authority is vested in Jesus, in the Son of Man alone. There is no pope, there is no priest, there is no religious guru in all this world has the authority to say to you, thy sins be forgiven. So the loving kindness of God, you see, seen in the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, seen in the forgiveness that Jesus Christ can bring to you, seen in God's dealings with sinners, friends. Would you give one of your dearest and best to die for some wicked evil man? Peradventure, you know, by chance maybe someone would die for a good person. We hear such things, don't we? In the war zones, you know, on the battlefield, some soldier will lay down his life for one of his comrades, you know? An act of great valor. Well, maybe some of you around here, you would surrender, you would yield your life for a good person, but would you do it for a bad one? Would you do it for somebody out of Stafford Jail? Would you do it for somebody who you know is wicked to the core of their being? Some pedophile? Some drug artist? Would you give up your life for one of these? Oh, the answer is no, of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. But you see, Jesus Christ laid down his life for the worst of sinners. God, in dealing with sinners, by his grace, presenting you with that which you least deserve. Instead of punishment, instead of immediate and absolute and utter damnation, God, in his gracious dealings with sinners, presents you with salvation, his loving kindness, instead of eternal divine retribution. Oh, the loving kindness of the Lord, which is better than life. Seen is it not in his gracious promises, which of course, well, the Bible says are all yea and amen to those who are in Jesus Christ. Those who are trusting in Jesus Christ, that is. Oh, I tell you, the Bible is replete with promises from God. But not one of them applies to you in unbelief. Not one of them can you claim. Not one of these promises can you lay hold upon. Friends, in unbelief, in the darkness of your godless, atheistic existence. Now, dear friends, only to faith, only to those who are in Christ, to those who are believing in Christ. It is therefore, the Bible says, no condemnation for those who are in, trusting that is in Jesus Christ, in his person, his work, his righteousness, not yours. But of course, without that faith, without that belief in God's Son, well, the condemnation remains. This is the condemnation, that you have not believed in God's only begotten Son. So faith must come first, and then of course you can lay hold upon all these precious, great precious promises that God has afforded us in his Word, that comes from his heart of loving kindness. But until you believe, in your unbelief, in your rejection of the gospel, in your rejection of the loving kindness of God, because that's what it amounts to, in your rejection of God's love, those promises will never be yours. But they're there. They're there to be had. They're there for the comfort and consolation of men and women who wander through this valley of death in which we live. For those, that is, who will trust. And come, of course, to an experience, personal experience, of the loving kindness of the Lord, which is better than life. Oh, the superior value, better than life, the psalmist says. I mean, life is valuable, isn't it? Of course it's valuable. Again, Jesus says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul, for his life, that is? Were you faced with death? Were you faced, you know, with the doctor this afternoon and he handed you a death sentence? What would you give in exchange? What would you give for your life? Man for man, woman for woman, I tell you, anything. Anything. Just let me live, you would say. Take my home, take my money, take everything, but please, just let me live. Because, you know, in man's estimation, you see, we all belong to the, every single one of us, we belong to the self-preservation society. It's a natural thing. Nobody wants to die. Somebody who does, well, there's something mentally wrong with them. But generally speaking, nobody wants to die. So what's better than life? Well, the psalmist, the word of God says that the loving kindness is better than life. Better than life itself. So, love's more valuable, you see, because, well, it's never ending. Not the love of your spouse, not the love of your kids. They might come and hate you. They'll promise, never leave you, they'll promise. They promise that they'll love you forever. Now they say, don't you give one another eternity rings? Forever! But it doesn't last forever. It never does. If it doesn't end up in the divorce court, it'll end up in the deathbed. But it will come to an end. But the loving kindness of the Lord is, in reality, in fact it is, endless. Because it's everlasting, the loving kindness of the God, of the Lord. So you see, it's much more valuable, of superior value to life, to anything that you know. Love, you see, it's a love that supports life. I don't think anybody can live without love. Maybe they can exist, but they can't live. Certainly you can't live without hope, because here's the thing, you know, you got so many young people, and some not so young, taking their own lives in these days, in this generation of yours, topping themselves, you know. But why would a person want to end their own life? Only because of this, because they've run out of hope. Because they got no hope, you know. Perhaps they've been deprived of it. Maybe they've been taught by their parents. Maybe they've been taught godless evolution. You know, maybe they've been taught hopelessness from the cradle. You know? And so they get to the dizzy height, you know, of their late teens or early 20s. You know, they've come through the college, the uni, and they've played all the video games. And now they see that there's absolutely nothing left. Not even a job at McDonald's. And so they've had a hope, you know. They see the vanity. They've heard all your empty words that the world has afforded them. And now they come to realize there's nothing. There's nothing. Talk to an atheistic young kid up in Castle there a few years back. He was well schooled in your godless atheism, evolutionism as you call it. We talked for a good hour, you know, up one side and down the other. And at the end of it, I said to him, well, I said, what are you left with? I said, at the end of it, you've got nothing but despair. And he agreed with me. He said, you're right. You're right, evolution is a doctrine of despair. He says, but it's all we've got. And with that, he walked away. If that's all you've got for your kids, if that's all you've got for your grandkids, shame on you, disgrace on you, leaving your children without hope. Little wonder they're topping themselves. Little wonder they're taking their own life. You can't live without hope. You can't live without love. Loving kindness, the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. Much better. Then, of course, it's the joy and comfort. No matter what you're going through, the afflictions, you know, the calamities that come upon human beings in this world, not necessarily bereavement, but that might be one. Oh, there's worse than bereavement, believe me. Oh, there is. That's not the worst. It may feel like it at the time, but I tell you, it's not the worst. There's much worse than that. there's dying, there's facing an eternity, there's going out of this world without knowing the loving kindness of the Lord, facing the darkness and blackness of eternal death to which you're exposed to every moment of your existence without the knowledge of the loving kindness of the Lord. Love of God, you see, love of God sanctifies all the troubles, all the afflictions of this life. It brings comfort in the midst of all the afflictions and all the calamities. Oh, when you know the loving kindness of God, I tell you, all these troubles, you know, that face you, well, you get them in the right perspective, you know. You get them in the right place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is about His loving kindness. Seek ye first the loving kindness of the Lord, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Friends, you need to get an eternal perspective on life. It's not going to last forever. You're going to die. You're going to cock your toes up. You're going to go out of this world feet first. One day, you're going to put your socks on yourself, but you won't take them off at night. The undertaker will take them off for you. But are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that time? Do you know the loving kindness of the Lord, which is better than life? Because that, my friends, ultimately, that's the prize. That's the goal. God's loving kindness. And that's what the gospel presents you with. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made it affordable for you. That which you could never purchase. That which you could never work for. That which you could never be religious enough for. God presents it as a gift before you this afternoon. My Son Jesus Christ, He made it possible. He opened up the way by His dying on the cross, shedding His atoning blood so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be washed and made clean and made fit for God and fit for heaven and fit even for purpose in this world. Because until you know the loving kindness of the Lord, I tell you, you're fit for neither of these. But friends, the gospel of God's Son, the grace of God in sending His Son into the world to accomplish what the law of God could never, never do, God has accomplished in the gift of His Son presented to men and women here in Stafford Town this afternoon. And so gratitude, you see, gratitude, that is what is required of you, a thankful receptance of the loving kindness of God. Elsewhere in the Bible, of course, it does say that because of the unthankfulness of men and women, that alone, you see, makes a person worthy of eternal damnation. Unthankful. Because they were not thankful, says God. Check it out, Romans chapter 1. Because of the suppression of the truth of the knowledge of God and unrighteousness, and their unthankfulness to God for all that He's given them, all that He is to them, for all His provision, and yet they live thankless lives. That's the problem with somebody who calls him or herself an atheist, you know? When they feel thankful, they got nobody to thank. Stupid people, huh? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's nothing so stupid, so dumb, as a person who calls himself an atheist. Because you know what? For reality, there's no such a thing in all the planet Earth as an atheist. Every man, woman and child born into this world knows that God is. Every single one. Yeah. You have an innate knowledge of God within you that no matter how much you use Darwin, Dawkins, or any other daft idiot, you cannot get rid of that innate knowledge of God within you. It's stamped on your innermost being. You know that God is. But God's wrath, His holy displeasure, is all over you like a rash, because you live a thankless life, existence, without Him. So you see, friends, that's what's required of you. A thankful reception of the loving kindness of God presented to you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, life, well, its primary purpose is, when all said and done, is not self-gratification as, well, as I guess the most people in Stafford today, probably 99.9%, would subscribe to gratify self, gratify your own lust, do your own thing, worship self. No, that's not the primary purpose of a human being. It's to glorify and enjoy God forever. But without the knowledge, without the experience of the loving kindness of the Lord, you can do neither. Because friends, you cannot glorify and you certainly cannot enjoy somebody you don't know. But again, that's why the wrath of God is coming to you in sin. For the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will return shortly with His mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those who do not know God, who know not God, who do not have the knowledge of His loving kindness, who have never experienced it, who have rejected it, who have turned their backs upon it, who have walked away from it. Friends, the loving kindness of the Lord, that's the chief end, that's the primary purpose, to know the love of God and to glorify and enjoy Him. A love, of course, a love that's forever. A love that never ends, as the hymn writer says, love with everlasting love, led by grace this love to know. So I ask you this afternoon, not are you religious? That's not what I'm asking you. Not asking you, do you go to a place of worship? Not asking you, do you believe in some kind of a God? I'm asking you, do you know the loving kindness of God? I'm asking you, do you know the forgiveness of God? Do you know eternal life? Do you know everlasting life and love? Do you know Jesus? Do you know His Son? Have you believed unto salvation? Have you trusted in the person of God's Son and that which He has done, that which He has accomplished? Because that's the pathway, that's the only pathway to the loving kindness of God. There is no other way. I am the way, Jesus says. So like I say, you know, you can read the Bible. You might know the Bible better than me. You might know it back to front. You might be a veritable theologian. But that's not my question either. Do you know the loving kindness of the Lord? Have you experienced the loving kindness of the Lord? Being filled with knowledge of the Bible and being filled with an experience of the loving kindness of the Lord, that's two different things altogether. The greatest prize of inestimable value, oh, I recommend it to you. 38 years ago in this town, 39 beginning of next year, in this very time, town, Jesus came to me and baptized me in His love. Jesus came to me and brought me to know the loving kindness of the Lord. After a life of debauchery and filth, after a life of which I would be ashamed, utterly ashamed to stand here and tell you about, so I won't. But he came to me and he loved me. And he loved the love of sin out of me. In spite of all that I'd done and all that I'd said and all that I'd thought, he kept on just telling me that he loved me and he wanted me. The loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, 39 years has not in the least diminished that love. I still can't get my head around it. Still trying after all these years. Guess I never will. But have you begun? Have you begun to know the loving kindness of the Lord? Have you tasted? Tasted. It's tasting. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That He is loving kindness itself. I can stand here and tell you about my old granny's apple tarts back in Glasgow that she used to make. I tell you, they were heavenly. But my telling you about them would make no difference because she's long gone. So you can't go there and you can't taste them for yourself. You never will, like I have. And so it is with the loving kindness of God. You'll never know until you taste it. Until you experience that loving kindness. The greatest experience, I tell you. Better even than the experience of life. And so I bid you this afternoon, dear friends, to once again to repent. It seems it matters not how we come to you. We come telling you about God's judgment and wrath, and you tell us, oh, we don't want to hear about that. We come and we tell you about the loving kindness of God, and you say, oh, we don't want to hear about that either. There's no pleasing you. No pleasing you at all. But I hope and pray that young lady that started out with me today telling me that this was her death, an appointment with God. Oh, I hope and I pray, we both of us pray for you that your end will be the loving kindness of God. That you'll not leave this world. That you'll not go out of this world, that you'll not breathe your last and stand before the holy and righteous judge without having known his loving kindness. That would be the greatest calamity, catastrophe that ever you faced in all your existence, worse than any calamity that ever you experienced in this world. That would be hell. Friends, that's what that would be. But it doesn't need to finish that way. You can be ready. You can repent and believe the gospel. Close with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Cry out to Him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And show me Thy loving kindness, which is better than life. Friends, you'd like a copy of God's Word? Read about the loving kindness of God. It's all here in the New Testament of the Bible. Got a whole Bible if you prefer one. Friends, it's the Word of God. It comes to you from the God who does not, who cannot lie. And friends, hear the loving kindness of the Lord. Taste and see.
What's that? Speak the word of the gospel.
I don't know what you mean, sir. You'd like a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you, yours for the